Princess Viserra. Viserra was betrothed to Lord Manderley of White Harbour, only to die by mishap shortly afterward. A wild, high-spirited maid, she fell from a horse while racing drunkenly through the streets of King's Landing. Scepter Miguel. Given to the faith, Miguel grew to be a scepter known for her compassion and her gift for healing. She was the chief cause of the reconciliation of the old king and Queen Alysanne in 94 AC, following the second quarrel. She nursed children afflicted with grayscale, but she became afflicted with the same illness and died in 96 AC. Princess Sarah. Though given to the faith as Miguel was, Sarah did not have Miguel's temperament. She ran away from the mother house where she was a novice and crossed the narrow sea. She was at Lys for a time, then Old Volantis, where she ended her days as the proprietor of a famous pleasure house. Princess Gail, called the Winter Child. Simple-minded but sweet, Gail was most beloved of the Queen. She disappeared from court in 99 AC, allegedly dying of a summer fever, but in fact she had drowned herself in the black water after having been seduced and abandoned by a travelling singer, leaving her with nothing but a growing belly. From the History of Archmaester Gildane. In the eyes of many, the Great Council of 101 AC thereby established an iron precedent on matters of succession. Regardless of seniority, the Iron Throne of Westeros could not pass to a woman, nor through a woman to her male descendants.
Viserys the First. After the long and peaceful reign of Jaehaerys the First, Viserys inherited a secure throne, a full treasury, and a legacy of goodwill that his grandfather had cultivated over 50 years. House Targaryen was never again so powerful as it was in Viserys' reign. More princes and princesses of the blood existed than at any other time since the Doom. And there were never so many dragons at one time as there were in the years 103 AC to 129 AC. But the great upheaval of the Dance of the Dragons had its roots in Viserys' reign, and it was chiefly due to the Blood Royals. In the early part of his reign, Viserys the First's chief annoyance was his own brother, Prince Daemon Targaryen. Daemon was mercurial and quick to take offense, but he was dashing, daring, and dangerous. He was knighted at 6 and 10, like Maegar the First, and Jaehaerys the First himself gave Daemon the Valyrian steel blade, Dark Sister, for his prowess. He had been among the brashest of Viserys' supporters prior to the Great Council, and had even gathered a small army of sworn swords and men-at-arms when rumors claimed that Corlys Velaryon was readying a fleet to defend the rights of his son, Laenor. King Jaehaerys avoided bloodshed, but many remembered that Daemon had been ready to come to blows over the matter. Daemon had been wed to Rhea Royce in 97 AC, when she was heir to the ancient seat of Runestone in the Vale. It was a fine, rich match, but Daemon found the Vale little to his liking, and liked his wife even less, and they were soon estranged.
From the History of Archmaester Gildane. Though he had wed the Lady of Runestone in 97 AC, during the Old King's reign, the marriage had not been a success. Prince Daemon found the Vale of Erin boring. In the Vale, the men fuck sheep, he wrote. You cannot fault them. Their sheep are prettier than their women. And soon developed a mislike of his lady wife, whom he called my bronze bitch, after the runic bronze armor worn by the lords of House Royce.
It had likewise proved a barren union. And though Viserys I refused his brother's entreaties to set aside the marriage, he did recall him to court to take up the burden of rule. Damon served first as master of coins, then master of law, but it was his chief rival, the Hand Sir Otto Hightower, who finally convinced the series to remove him from these offices. So in 104 AC, Viserys made his brother commander of the city watch. Prince Daemon improved the armaments and training of the watch and gave them the golden cloaks that led them to be known as the Gold Cloaks to this day. He often joined his men in patrolling the city, swiftly becoming known to both the meanest urchin and the wealthiest tradesman, and earned a certain dark reputation in the stews and brothels where he was wont to make free of the wares on offer. Crime fell sharply, though some said it was because Damon delighted in meting out harsh punishments. Yet those who benefited from his rule loved him well, and Damon soon became known as Lord Fleabottom. Later still, after Viserys refused him the title of Prince of Dragonstone, he came to be called the Prince of the City. It was in the brothels of the city that he found a favourite, a paramour, a very pale Lycian dancer named Messaria, whose looks and reputation led the prostitutes who knew her to call her Misery, the White Worm. Later she became Damon's mistress of whisperers. Some said that Damon's support for his brother in the Great Council was motivated by his belief he would be his brother's heir. But in Viserys' mind, he already had an heir, Rhaenyra, his sole daughter by his cousin, Queen Emma of House Arryn. Rhaenyra was born in 97 AC, and as a child her father doted upon her and took her everywhere with him, even to the council chamber, where he encouraged her to watch and listen intently. For these reasons the court doted on her as well, and many paid homage to her. The singers dubbed her the realm's delight, for she was bright and precocious. A beautiful child who was already a dragon rider at the age of 7, as she flew on the back of her she-dragon, Cyrex, named for one of the old gods of Illyria. In 105 AC, her mother finally delivered the son that the king and queen had both longed for, but the queen died in childbirth, and the boy, named Balon, only survived her by a day. By this time, Viserys I was heartily sick of being hectored over the succession and disregarding the precedence of 92 AC and the Great Council of 101 AC. He officially declared that Rhaenyra was Princess of Dragonstone and his heir. A grand ceremony was arranged in which hundreds of lords knelt to do homage to the princess while she sat at her father's feet. Prince Damon was not among them. The year 105 AC holds one more event of note, the induction of Sir Criston Cole into the King's Guard. Born in 82 AC as the son of a Stuart in the service of the Dondarrions of Blackhaven, Criston had risen to the attention of the court at a tourney in Maidenpool to celebrate Viserys' ascension to the throne, where he won the melee and was the last but one in the jousting. Black-haired, green-eyed, and comely, he proved a delight to the ladies of the court, and to Princess Rhaenyra most of all. She took a childish fancy to him, naming him My White Knight, and begging her father to make him her sworn shield, which he did. After that, Cole was always by her side and carried her favour in the lists. It was said in later years that the princess only had eyes for Sir Criston, but there is reason to doubt that this was wholly true. Matters became more complicated when, with Sir Otto Hightower's encouragement, King Viserys announced his intention to wed the Lady Alicent, Sir Otto's daughter, and the old king's former nursemaid. For the most part, the realm celebrated this union. Rhaenyra, secure in her place as heir, welcomed her father's new bride, for they had long known one another at court. Not all were so joyous in the Vale, however, where Prince Daemon was said to have whipped the servant who brought him tidings of the marriage, nor at Driftmark, where Lord Corlys and Princess Rhaenys had seen their daughter Laenar rejected by the king as well. Among the fruits of King Viserys' marriage to Alicent was the alliance between Prince Daemon and the Sea Snake. Tired of waiting for a crown that seemed increasingly more distant, Daemon was determined to carve out his own kingdom. In this, he and Corlys Velaryon could make common cause. Thanks to the predations of the Kingdom of the Three Daughters, or the Triarchy, as it was sometimes called, which was the union between Lys, Myr, and Tyrosh, that had been born out of a successful alliance against Valentis. At first this alliance was applauded in the Seven Kingdoms, but soon they grew worse than the pirates and corsairs they had defeated. The fighting began in 106 AC, with a Sea Snake providing the fleet and Daemon providing Caraxes and his skill in commanding men to lead the Second Sons and landless knights who flocked to Daemon's banner. King Viserys contributed to their war, sending gold for the hire of men and supplies. They won many victories over the next 2 years, culminating in Prince Daemon killing the Mirish prince, Admiral Craegus Drehar, called Crabfeeder, in single combat. When he learned that Daemon had declared himself King of the Narrow Sea in 109 AC, King Viserys was heard to say that his brother could keep his crown if it kept him out of trouble. It proved a premature claim to victory, however. The Triarchy dispatched a new fleet and army the following year, and Dorne joined the Triarchy in the war against Daemon's fledgling petty kingdom. In 107 AC, Alicent bore Viserys the boy Aegon, and the king finally had a son. Aegon was followed by a sister, Helena, his future bride, and by another son named Aemon. But the birth of a son meant that the succession was once more called into question, and not least by the queen herself, as well as her father, the Hand, who were anxious to see their blood set over Emma's. Sir Otto overstepped himself, however, and in 109 AC he was replaced by Lord Lionel Strong, who had served ably as Master of Laws. For King Viserys, the matter was long settled. Rhaenyra was his heir, and he did not wish to hear arguments otherwise, despite the decrees of the Great Council of 101, which always placed a man above a woman. The accounts and letters preserved from this time begin to speak of a queen's party and the party of the princess. Thanks to the tourney of 111 AC, they were soon known by simpler names, the Greens and the Blacks. At this tourney, we are told, Queen Alicent was beautifully clad in a gown of green, while Rhaenyra left no one in doubt of her inheritance by wearing black, embellished with red, for the banners of House Targaryen. This same tourney saw the return of Daemon Targaryen, King of the Narrow Sea, from his wars. He wore his crown when Caraxes alighted, but he knelt before his brother and removed the crown, offering it up in a token of fealty. Viserys raised him back up, returned the crown, and kissed him upon both cheeks. For all the turmoil between them, Viserys truly loved his brother. Those at the tourney cheered, but none more loudly than Rhaenyra, who loved her dashing uncle well. More than well, perhaps, though our sources are contradictory. It was only a few moons later that Daemon was exiled. As for the reason, our sources differ greatly. Some, such as Runciter and Munkin, suggest that King Viserys and King Daemon quarreled, for brotherly love rarely stands in the way of disagreements, and that is why Daemon left. Others say that it was Alicent, at Sir Otto's prompting possibly, who convinced Viserys that Daemon must leave. But two speak more fully on the matter. Septon Eustace's The Reign of King Viserys, First of His Name, and The Dance of the Dragons That Came After, was written by the Septon after the war came to its end. Though dry and ponderous in his writing, Eustace was clearly a confidant of the Targaryens, and speaks accurately of many things. Mushrooms, the testimony of Mushroom, is another matter, however. A dwarf 3 feet tall, with an enormous head and an enormous member to go with it, if he is to be believed, Mushroom was the court jester and was thought to be a lackwit. Therefore, the worthies of the court spoke freely around him. His testimony alleges to be his account of the events of the years when he was at court, set down by a scribe whose name we do not know, and it is filled with Mushroom's tales of plots, murders, trysts, debaucheries, and more, and all in the most explicit detail. Septon Eustace's and Mushroom's accounts are often at odds with one another, but at times there are some surprising areas of agreement between them. Eustace claims that Daemon and Princess Rhaenyra were caught abed together by Sir Eric Cargill, and it was this that made Viserys exile his brother from the court. Mushroom tells a different tale, however, that Rhaenyra had eyes only for Sir Criston Cole, but that the knight had declined her overtures. It was then that her uncle offered to school her in the arts of love, so that she might move the virtuous Sir Criston to break his vows. But when she finally thought herself ready to approach him, the knight, whom a Mushroom swears was as chaste and virtuous as an aged scepter, reacted in horror and disgust. Viserys soon heard of it, and whatever version of the tale was true, we do know that Daemon asked for Rhaenyra's hand, if only Viserys would set aside his marriage to Lady Rhea. Viserys refused, and instead exiled Daemon from the Seven Kingdoms, never to return upon pain of death. Daemon departed, returning to the Stepstones to continue with his war. In 112 AC, Sir Harold Westling passed away, and Sir Criston Cole was made the Lord Commander of the King's Guard in his place. And in 113 AC, Princess Rhaenyra came of age. In the years before this, many men had paid court to her, among them the heir to Harrenhal, Sir Harwin Strong, who was called Breakbones, and was accounted the strongest knight in the realm, showering her with gifts, as the twins Sir Jason and Sir Tyler Lannister did at Castle Rock, composing songs to her beauty, and even fighting duels for her favour, as sons of Lord Blackwood and Lord Bracken had done. There was even talk of wedding her to the Prince of Dawn to unite the two realms at last. Queen Alicent and Sir Otto, her father, naturally advanced the suit of her son, Prince Aegon, though he was much younger. But the two siblings had never gotten along, and Viserys knew his queen desired the match more out of ambition for her son than out of Aegon's love for Rhaenyra. Ignoring all these suits, Viserys turned instead to the Sea Snake and Princess Rhaenys, whose son Leonor had once been his rival at the Great Council of 101. Leonor had the blood of the dragon on both sides, and even a dragon of his own, the splendid grey and white dragon he called Sea Smoke. Better the match would unite the two factions that at once stood opposed at the Great Council of 101. Yet there was one problem. At the age of 9 and 10, Leonor preferred the company of squires of his own age, and was said never to have known a woman intimately, nor to have any bastards. But to this Grand Maester Melos was said to have remarked, "What of it? I am not fond of fish, but when fish is served, I eat it." Rhaenyra was of a different mind entirely. Perhaps she harboured hopes of wedding Prince Daemon, as Eustace claims, or of seducing Kristen Cole to her bed, as Mushroom cheerfully suggests. But Viserys would hear none of it, and against all her objections, he needed only to note that, if she refused the marriage, he would reconsider the succession. And then came the final break between Sir Criston Cole and Rhaenyra. Though to this day we do not know if it was instigated by Sir Criston or Rhaenyra. Did she try to seduce him once more? Did he finally admit his love, now that it seems she'd be wed, and try to persuade her to run away with him? We cannot say, nor can we say if there's any truth in the claim that after Cole left her, she instead gave up her maidenhood, if indeed she still had it, to Sir Harwin Strong, a much less scrupulous sort of knight. Mushroom claims that he himself found them abed, but half of what he says cannot be trusted, and the other half one sometimes wishes not to trust. What we can say for certain is that in 114 AC, Princess Rhaenyra and the newly knighted Selaenor were wed, and as is the custom, a tourney was held in celebration. At this tourney, Rhaenyra had a new champion in Breakbones, while Sir Criston, for the first time, wore the favour of Queen Alicent. Accounts of the tourney all agree that Cole fought in a black fury and defeated all challengers. He shattered Breakbone's collarbone and elbow, leading Mushroom to dub him Broken Bones. But the worst injuries he meted out were to Laenor's favourite, the handsome knight Sir Geoffrey Lonmouth, who was called the Knight of Kisses. Sir Geoffrey was borne from the field senseless and bloody, and lingered for 6 days before dying, leaving Laenor to weep bitter tears of grief. Afterwards, Sir Laenor departed for Driftmark, and some wondered if the marriage had even been consummated. Rhaenyra and her husband largely spent their time apart, she on Dragonstone and he on Driftmark. Yet if the realm worried about her heirs, they need not wait long. Near the end of 114 AC, Rhaenyra delivered a healthy boy, whom she named Jaqeras, not Joffrey, as Selaenor had hoped, called Jace by friends and family, and yet Rhaenyra was of the blood of the dragon, and Selaenor likewise had the aquiline nose, fine features, silver-white hair, and purple eyes that bespoke his own Valyrian heritage. Why, then, did Jaqeras have brown hair and eyes and a pug nose? Many looked at them, and then at the hulking Sir Harwin Strong, now chief of the Blacks, and Rhaenyra's constant companion, and wondered. Rhaenyra bore two more sons, Lyserys, called Luke, and Joffrey, during her marriage to Selaenor Velaryon, and each one was born healthy and strapping, with a brown hair and pug nose that neither Rhaenyra nor Laenor possessed. Among the Greens it was said that they were obviously the sons of Breakbones, and many doubted whether they could be dragon riders. But at Viserys' command, each had a dragon's egg placed in his cradle, and each egg hatched, producing the dragons Vermax, Arax, and Tyraxes. The king, for his part, ignored the rumours, for he clearly meant to keep Rhaenyra as his heir. Four tragedies in 120 AC caused it to be remembered as the Year of the Red Spring, not to be confused with the Red Spring of 236 AC, for it laid the foundation for the Dance of the Dragons. The first of these tragedies was the death of Laenor Velaryon, Laenor's sister. Once considered as a bride for Viserys, she had wed Prince Daemon in 115 AC, after his wife, Lady Rhea, died while hunting in the Vale. Daemon, meanwhile, had grown tired of the Stepstones and had given up his crown. Five other men would follow him as kings of the Narrow Sea, until that sellsword kingdom ended for good and all. Laenor gave Daemon two twin daughters, Bela and Rhaena. Though King Viserys had at first been angered by the marriage, which took place without his leave, he allowed Daemon to present his daughters at court in 117 AC against the objections of his small council. He still loved his brother and perhaps thought that fatherhood would temper him. In 120 AC, Rhaena was brought to bed again with child and delivered the son that Daemon had always desired. What was drawn from her womb was twisted and deformed, however, and died shortly after birth. Rhaena, too, soon expired.
Before her marriage to Daemon, Rhaena had been betrothed for almost a decade to the son of a former sea lord of Braavos. But the youth had squandered his father's fortune and influence and had become nothing but a hanger-on at high tide and an embarrassment to Lord Corlys. It was no great surprise when Daemon, paying a visit after his wife's death, saw Rhaena, who was said to be surpassingly lovely, and spoke in private with the sea snake about a marriage. Soon after, Prince Daemon provoked her Bravossi betrothed so mercilessly that the youth challenged him to a single combat. So ended the sea lord's wastrel son.
But it was her parents, Lord Corlys and Princess Rhaenys, who had the greater cause to lament that year. They still mourned their daughter when their son was taken. All accounts agree that Rhaena was attending a market fair at Spicetown when he was murdered. Eustace named his friend and companion, and lover, as some would have it, Sir Carl Corey, saying they quarrelled because Rhaena meant to put him aside for a new favourite. Blades were drawn, and Rhaena was killed. Sir Carl fled, never to be seen again. Mushroom, however, suggests a blacker tale, that Prince Daemon had paid Corrie to murder Rhaena to free Rhaenyra for himself. The third tragedy was the ugly squabble between the sons of Alicent and the sons of Rhaenyra, caused when the dragonless Aemon Targaryen attempted to claim the late Lenor's dragon, Vhagar, for himself. Pushes and shoves were followed by fists, after Aemon mocked Rhaenyra's boys as the Strongs, until young Prince Lysyrys took a knife and plunged it into Aemon's eye. Afterward, Aemon was known as Aemon One-Eye, though he did manage to win Vhagar. He had opportunity to avenge the loss of his eye in the years to come, though the realm would bleed because of it. In the end, Viserys attempted to make peace, and he did so by proclaiming that any man or woman who questioned the paternity of Rhaenyra's children would have his or her tongue torn out. He then commanded Alicent and his sons to return to King's Landing, while Rhaenyra was to remain with her sons at Dragonstone, so they might not quarrel again. Sir Eric Cargill remained at Dragonstone as Rhaenyra's sworn shield, taking the place of Sir Harwin Strong, who returned to Harrenhal. The last tragedy, and some might say the least, was the fire at Harrenhal that took the lives of Lord Lionel and his son and heir, Sir Harwin. But those who speak so are ignorant. Viserys, now old and weary and increasingly disinterested in the governance of the realm, was left without a hand, while Rhaenyra was left without both a husband and, as some claimed, a paramour. Some accounts see it as an accident, no more, but others suggest more wicked possibilities. Some believe that Larys Clubfoot, one of the king's inquisitors and Lord Lionel's youngest son, might have arranged it so that he might rule Harrenhal. Other histories even hint that Prince Daemon himself was behind it. Rather than bring in a new hand, the king recalled Sir Otto from Oldtown at Alicent's urging and named him Hand again. And rather than mourn her late husband, Rhaenyra at last wed her uncle, Prince Daemon. In the last days of 120 AC, she even delivered to him his first son, whom she named Aegon after the Conqueror. When she learned of it, Queen Alicent was said to be enraged, for her own elder son also bore the conqueror's name. The two Aegons came to be known as Aegon the Elder and Aegon the Younger. The year 122 AC saw Rhaenyra and Daemon delivered of a second son, Viserys. Viserys was not so robust as Aegon the Younger, or his Velaryon half-siblings, but he proved precocious. Some took it as an omen, however, when the dragon egg, placed in his cradle, did not hatch. And so matters progressed, until the fateful day in 129 AC, when Viserys I at last died. His son, Aegon the Elder, had wed his daughter, Helena, and Helena had borne to Aegon the twins, Jaehaerys and Jaehaera, the latter of whom was a strange child, slow to grow, never weeping or smiling as children do, and another son named Maelor in 127 AC. On Driftmark, the sea snake began to fail and took to his bed. Viserys, now in the winter of his years, but still hearty, injured himself on the Iron Throne in 128 AC after rendering a judgment. The wound became dangerously infected, and in the end Maester Orwell, who had succeeded Maester Melos in the previous year, was forced to amputate two fingers. That measure was not stringent enough, however, and as 128 ended and 129 began, Viserys was growing increasingly ill. On the third day of the third moon of 129 AC, while entertaining Jaehaerys and Jaehaera from his bed with a tale of their great-great-grandsire and his queen battling giants, mammoths, and wildlings beyond the wall, the king grew tired. He sent his grandchildren away when the tale was done, and fell into a sleep from which he never awoke. He had ruled for 26 years, reigning over the most prosperous era in the history of the Seven Kingdoms, but seeding within it the disastrous decline of his house and the death of the last of the dragons. Aegon the Second. No war was ever bloodier or crueler than the Dance of the Dragons, as the Singers and Monkham have chosen to name it. It was the worst kind of war, a war between siblings. Despite Viserys' unwavering preference for Rhaenyra, Prince Aegon was convinced to take up his father's crown by his mother and the small council before Viserys I's corpse was cold. When Rhaenyra, the princess of Dragonstone, learned of it, she fell into a rage. She was at the time in confinement at Dragonstone, awaiting the birth of her third child to Prince Daemon.
From the History of Archmaester Gildane. On Dragonstone, no cheers were heard. Instead, screams echoed through the halls and stairwells of Sea Dragon Tower, and down from the Queen's apartments, where Rhaenyra Targaryen strained and shuddered in her third day of labour. The child had not been due for another turn of the moon, but the tidings from King's Landing had driven the princess into a black fury, and her rage seemed to bring on the birth, as if the babe inside her were angry too, and fighting to get out. The princess shrieked curses all through her labour, calling down the wrath of the gods upon her half-brothers and their mother, the queen, and detailing the torments she would inflict upon them before she would let them die. She cursed the child inside her too, Mushroom tells us. "Get out!" she screamed, clawing at her swollen belly as her maester and her midwife tried to restrain her. "Monster, monster, get out, get out, get out!" When the babe at last came forth, she proved indeed a monster, a stillborn girl, twisted and malformed, with a hole in her chest where her heart should have been, and a stubby, scaled tail. Or so Mushroom described her. The dwarf tells us that it was he who carried the little thing to the yard for burning. The dead girl had been named Visenya, Princess Rhaenyra announced the next day, when Milk of the Poppy had blunted the edge of her pain. "She was my only daughter, and they killed her. They stole my crown and murdered my daughter, and they shall answer for it."
Once past the birth, Rhaenyra prepared for war. Both she and Alicent had their supporters among their kin, and among the great lords of the realm, and each side had dragons. It was a recipe for disaster, and so it proved. The realm bled as it never had before, and it would be years before all the scars were healed. Mushrooms claimed that Queen Alicent had hurried her husband's demise with a pinch of poison in his wine, we may, perhaps, dismiss. But none can doubt that the first blood to be spilled in the dance was that of the aged master of coin, Lord Beesbury, when he insisted that Viserys' true heir was Rhaenyra, and that she must be crowned. The accounts differ as to how this dissenter was removed. Some say he died of a chill after being thrown into the black cells, and some that Sir Criston Cole, the Lord Commander, who would soon be called the Kingmaker, opened his throat with his dagger there at the table. Mushroom disagrees, suggesting Cole threw Beesbury out of a window, though it should be remembered that Mushroom was on Dragonstone at this time with Rhaenyra. But that was far from the last murder in the early days of the dance. However, the most lamentable were the murders of the young princes, Lucerys Velaryon, the son of Rhaenyra, and Jaehaerys, the son and heir of Aegon. Luke Velaryon's death was witnessed by many eyes at the court of Storm's End, and the accounts largely agree. Dispatched by his mother to Storm's End to enlist Lord Burrow's support, he arrived to find Prince Aemon Targaryen there before him. Aemon was older, stronger, and crueler than Lucerys, and he hated Lucerys with a passion, for it was Lucerys who had cost him his eye 9 years earlier. Lord Boris denied Aemon his desire for revenge inside his hall, but stated that he had no care whatever for what happened without. So Prince Aemon, upon Vhagar, chased down the fleeing Lucerys and his young dragon, Arryx. The prince and his dragon, hampered by the storm raging outside the castle walls, both died within sight of Storm's End, plummeting into the sea. Rhaenyra, the accounts all say, collapsed at the news. Not so Lucerys' stepfather, Prince Daemon Targaryen. The words Prince Daemon sent to Dragonstone after having learned the news of Lucerys' death were, "An eye for an eye, a son for a son. Lucerys shall be avenged." He was the prince of the city, and he still had many friends in the stews and brothels of King's Landing. Chief of them was his once paramour, Mysaria, the White Worm. She arranged his vengeance, hiring a brute and a rat-catcher known to history as Blood and Cheese. Thanks to his profession, the rat-catcher knew all the secrets of Magor's tunnels. Slipping into the Red Keep, Blood and Cheese seized hold of Queen Helena and her children, and then offered Aegon the Second's wife a brutal choice. Which of her sons would die? She wept and pled and offered her own life to no avail. In the end, she named Melor the youngest, and deemed too young to understand. Blood and Cheese killed Prince Jaehaerys instead, as his mother screamed her horror. Then Blood and Cheese fled with a prince's head, true to their word that they were only after one of Aegon's sons. These were not the only murders in that long and brutal war. As piteous as Jaehaerys' death was, that of little Prince Melor, who did not long survive his brother, was worse. Sir Rickard Thorne of the King's Guard was dispatched to carry Melor away in secret to Oldtown, where he would be secure in the High Tower. But at Bitterbridge he was stopped and brought down by a mob. Melor himself was torn apart at Bitterbridge, as the men and women of the mob each struggled to claim the infant as their own prize. When Lord Hightower razed Bitterbridge in revenge, and came to exact justice on Lady Caswell. She begged mercy for her children before hanging herself from her castle walls. Even the King's Guard were enlisted into the strife. Sir Criston Cole dispatched Sir Arik Cargill to Dragonstone with the intention of having him infiltrate the citadel in the guise of his twin, Sir Eric. There he was to kill Rhaenyra or her children, accounts differ. Yet, as chance would have it, Sir Eric and Sir Arik met by happenstance in one of the halls of the citadel. The singers tell us that they professed their love for one another before the steel clashed, and fought with love and duty in their hearts for an hour before they died weeping in one another's arms. The account of Mushroom, who claims to have witnessed the duel, says the reality was far more brutal. They condemned one another for traitors, and within moments had mortally wounded each other. While this took place, Sir Criston Cole decided to punish the Black Lords, those bannermen of the Crown Lands, who remained loyal to Rhaenyra. Rusby, Stokeworth, and Duskendale fell before him, but at Rook's Rest Lord Staunton had already received word of Cole's arrival. Instead of fighting, he barricaded himself in his castle, then dispatched a raven to Dragonstone, begging for aid. That aid arrived in the form of Princess Rhaenys, then 55, but as fearless and determined as she had been in her youth, and her dragon Melis, the Red Queen. But Cole had brought dragons too, for Aegon II himself arrived on the field upon Sunfire, and his brother Aemon One-Eye rode Vhagar, the greatest living dragon. It is recounted that Princess Rhaenys, the queen who never was, did not shrink from her foe. With a glad cry and a crack of her whip, she sent Melis flying up to face them. Only Vhagar and Aemon came out of that battle unscathed. Sunfire was crippled, and King Aegon II barely survived, suffering broken ribs, a broken hip, and burns that covered half his body. Worse was his left arm, where the dragonfire melted the king's armor into his flesh. Rhaenyra's body was found several days later amidst the ruins of the Red Queen's corpse, but so burned as to be unrecognizable.
At the outset of the war, Aegon II's chief supporters were Lord Hightower, Lord Lannister, and eventually Lord Baratheon. Lord Tully desired to fight for the king, but was old and bedridden, and his grandson defied him. Rhaenyra's chief supporters were her good father, Lord Velaryon, her cousin, Lady Jane Arryn, and Lord Stark, though his help was slow in coming, as he kept every man to harvest what they could before winter fell on the north. Lord Greyjoy attacked the Westerlands in her name as well, to the shock of King Aegon, who had courted his support. The Tullys eventually joined Rhaenyra's cause, in defiance of the late Lord Tully's wishes. The Tyrells, however, remained uninvolved in the war, as did the Dornishmen.
Aegon spent the next year of his reign in isolation, healing from his terrible wounds. But the war raged on, and while King Aegon had many advantages in the war with his elder sister, his strength in dragons was not among them. At the war's outset, Aegon counted only 4 dragons large enough to fight, while his sister had 8 and access to still more. First were 3 older dragons that had yet to be claimed by new riders. Silverwing, Queen Alison's Oldmount, Seasmoke, who had been the pride of Sir Laenor Velaryon, and Vermithor, unridden since the death of King Jaehaerys. Then there were 3 wild dragons that might be tamed if riders could be found. The cannibal, said by the small folk to have lurked on Dragonstone even before the Targaryens came, though Munkin and Barth are dubious of this claim, Grey Ghost, shy of people gorging on fish it plucked from the sea, and the sheep-stealer, brown and plain, preferring to feed on what sheep it could steal from the sheepfolds. Prince Jaehaerys announced, with the prompting of Mushroom, if his testimony is to be believed, that any man or woman who could ride one of these dragons would be ennobled.
On Dragonstone, where the Targaryens had long ruled, the common folk had seen their beautiful foreign rulers almost as gods. Many maids deflowered by Targaryen lords accounted themselves blessed if a dragon seed was planted in their womb, and for this reason there were many on Dragonstone who could rightly claim, or at least suspect, that some Targaryen blood ran in their veins.
Many attempted to mount the dragons that were still available on Dragonstone. The most perilous of these were the wild dragons, so it was no wonder that the dragons who had previously accepted riders were the first to find new riders. Among these new dragon riders was Adam of Hull, a brave and noble youth who was brought by his mother, Marilda of Hull, to try for a dragon along with his brother Alan. She revealed that the boys were the sons of Laenor Velaryon, a fact that many found remarkable, but which Lord Corlys did not question when he adopted them both into House Velaryon.
Mushroom puts forward a more plausible possibility on Adam and Alan's parentage, that it was Lord Corlys himself who fathered both boys, back when he spent many of his days at the shipyards of Hull, where Marilda's father was a shipwright. The boys had gone unacknowledged, kept far from court, while the fiery-tempered queen who never was lived. But after her death, Lord Corlys took the opportunity to acknowledge them, after a fashion.
Adam claimed Laenor's dragon, Sea Smoke. His brother Alan had less success with Sheep Stealer, and for the rest of his days bore the marks of the dragon's flames on his back and legs. Sheep Stealer was eventually tamed by Nettles, a plain, base-born, disreputable girl who fed the dragon mutton day by day until it became used to her. The dragon and its rider played their part in the war, but Nettles' loyalties were not so clear as brave Sir Adam's. When she and Prince Daemon became lovers, it drove a final wedge between Rhaenyra and her lord husband. Nettles, whom the prince fondly called Nettie, outlived her prince, as well as his wife. Nettles and the sheep stealer vanished before the war's end, and none could say where they went until years after. But of all the new dragon riders, the worst were the drunkard named Ulf the Sot, who took the name Ulf the White once knighted, and the huge and powerful blacksmith bastard Hugh the Hammer, also called Hard Hugh, who became known as Hugh Hammer when he received his knighthood. Not satisfied with the honour of riding upon the dragons Silver Wing and Vermithor, they desired lordships and wealth. After first fighting for Rhaenyra, they turned their cloaks at the First Battle of Tumbleton in return for lordships, and were cursed as the Two Betrayers ever after. Both died miserable deaths, killed by the men they thought beholden to them, the one by poisoned wine, the other slain by Bold John Roxton, with Orphan Maker.
When Rhaenyra learned of the betrayal of Hugh Hammer and Ulf the White at First Tumbleton, where they turned their dragons against her forces, her rage was such that she tried to arrest the other dragon seed who had taken dragons at her behest. Among them was Adam Velaryon, but he was forewarned by the sea snake and so escaped. Young Sir Adam died bravely at the Second Battle of Tumbleton, proving his faithfulness with his life after it had been called into question by the deeds of the two betrayers. When his bones were returned to Driftmark from Raventree Hall in 138 AC, the epitaph Lord Alan put on his tomb consisted of one word, loyal.
The battles during the dance cannot be readily counted, for they were almost beyond number, and much of the realm was torn asunder in the conflict. Men raised the banner of the king, bearing the golden, three-headed dragon that Aegon had taken for his sigil, only to find their neighbour had taken up Rhaenyra's red dragon, quartered with the moon and falcon of her Aeron mother, and the seahorse of her late husband. Brother fought brother, father fought son, and the whole realm bled. Many of the hosts were gathered by various lords on behalf of the king or queen they supported, but if any could be said to have held command of all the loyal forces on each side, they were Prince Daemon Targaryen and Prince Aemon Targaryen, respectively. Aemon took up the mantle of protector of the realm and Prince Regent after both Aegon II and Sunfire were gravely injured at Rook's Rest in the battle with Rhaenys and Maelys. He even donned his brother's crown, Aegon the Conqueror's crown of rubies and Valyrian steel, though he did not call himself king. Sadly for the Greens, this proved to be unfortunate. Aemon was too inexperienced and too bold to take effective command. Prince Daemon was, at the time, in control of Harrenhal, so Aemon brashly planned an assault to take Harrenhal from his rival, denuding King's Landing of defenders in the process. He arrived to find the castle empty and was jubilant until he learned the real reason for the desertion. For while Aemon had been marching on Harrenhal, Daemon had met Queen Rhaenyra and her dragon riders over King's Landing, their dragons wheeling above the city. The gold cloaks, many of whom still considered themselves loyal to Daemon, betrayed the officers Aegon had put in charge and surrendered the city with little bloodshed, though blood was spilled in the executions that followed as Sir Otto Hightower, Lord Jasper Wilde, the Master of Laws, called Ironrod for his sternness, and Lords Rusby and Stokeworth, who had once been of Rhaenyra's party before turning their cloaks, were beheaded. The Dowager, Queen Alicent, was imprisoned, but Aegon II, still recovering from the injuries he received at Rook's Rest, and his remaining children, as well as Lord Larys Strong, had been spirited out of the castle by secret ways. The realm truly went mad during the Dance of the Dragons, but it was at King's Landing where most of the dragons lost their lives. King's Landing had fallen bloodlessly to Rhaenyra, thanks to Prince Daemon's cunning, but after the first Battle of Tumbledon, unrest spread throughout the city. Only 60 leagues away, Tumbledon had been sacked in the most savage fashion. Thousands burned, thousands more drowned, attempting to swim across the river to safety. Girls and women were ravished until they died, and dragons feeding among the ruins. The victory Lord Hightower had won with the aid of Prince Daeron and the two betrayers sent terror through the city, as the King's Landers were sure they would be next. Rhaenyra's own strength was scattered and spent, so that there were only dragons left to defend the city. It was the fear of dragons and of their presence that gave birth to the shepherd. Who he was, we cannot say, as his name is lost to history. Some suppose he was a poor beggar, others that he might have been one of the poor fellows who, though outlawed, still stubbornly haunted the realm. Whoever he was, he began to preach in the cobbler's square, saying that the dragons were demons, the spawn of godless Valyria, and the doom of men. Scores listened, then hundreds, then thousands. Fear begat anger, and anger begat a thirst for blood. And when the shepherd announced that the city would be saved only when the city was cleansed of dragons, people listened. On the 22nd day of the 5th moon of the year 130 AC, Aemon One-Eye and Daemon Targaryen entered their last battle. On that same day, chaos and death seized King's Landing. Queen Rhaenyra had imprisoned Lord Corlys for helping his grandson, Sir Adam Velaryon, escape arrest when he was accused of treason. Some of the sea snake's sworn swords joined the riotous mob in Cobbler's Square, and some scaled the walls to try to free the sea snake, only to be hanged when they were caught. Queen Helena then fell to her death, impaled on the spikes surrounding Magor's holdfast. A suicide, some said, and others a murder. And that night the city burned as the shepherd's mob marched on the dragon pit, attempting to slay all the dragons within. Young Joffrey Velaryon, the Prince of Dragonstone, plummeted to his death when trying to ride his mother's dragon, Cyrax, to the dragon pit in order to save his own dragon, Taraxes. Neither dragon survived. Wild tales and rumors followed about the deaths of the dragons, that some were hewn down by men, others by the shepherd, others by the warrior himself. Whatever the truth, five dragons died that bloody night as the mobs broke into the huge dome and found the dragons chained, and people perished in droves. Half the dragons that began the dance were already dead, and the war was not yet over. Rhaenyra fled the city shortly after.
The most notable battles of the dance. The battles of 129 AC. Battle of the Burning Mill, where Prince Daemon and the Blackwoods defeated the Brackens and took the Stone Hedge. Battle of the Gullet, where Corlys Velaryon's fleet was defeated by the ships of the Triarchy, Aegon's allies. This battle resulted in the death of Jaqerus, Prince of Dragonstone, and Vermax, his dragon, and the death of Prince Aegon the Younger's dragon, Stormcloud. Battle of the Honeywine, where Aegon the Elder's youngest brother, Prince Daeron, won his spurs, saving Lord Hightower's host from Lords Rowan, Tarly, and Costain. The Battles of 130 AC. Battle at the Red Fork, where the Westermen broke the Riverlords and swarmed into the Riverlands, but not before Lord Jason Lannister was mortally wounded by the Squire, Pate of Longleaf. Battle of the Lakeshore, called the Fish Feed, the bloodiest land battle of the war on the shores of the God's Eye, where the Lannister host was driven into the lake by the River Lords and died in the thousands. Butcher's Ball, where Aegon II's hand, Sir Criston Cole, challenged Sir Garibald Grey, Lord Roderick Dustin, called the Ruin, and Sir Pate of Longleaf, called the Lionslayer, and was refused. Cole was killed ingloriously by arrows rather than by the sword, and his host was destroyed thereafter. First Battle of Tumbleton, where the two betrayers, dragon riders Ulf the White and Hugh Hammer, turn their cloaks, and the remaining Winter Wolves, the grizzled Northmen who followed Lord Dustin to war, cut their way through 10 times their number. This resulted in the deaths of Lord Ormond Hightower, who led the forces of the Greens, and his famous cousin, Sir Brynden, at the hands of Lord Roderick Dustin, who was also slain. The savage sack of Tumbleton followed. Storming of the Dragon Pit, no true battle, where an unruly mob, under the leadership of a man known as the Shepherd, went mad. This resulted in the death of 5 dragons, the loss of both Sir Willem Royce and the Valyrian sword lamentation that he bore, and the deaths of Sir Glendon Good, who was Lord Commander of the Queen's Guard for 1 day, and Joffrey, Prince of Dragonstone. Battle above the God's Eye, where the infamous duel between Prince Aemon One-Eye and Prince Daemon Targaryen, and between Vhagar and Caraxes, took place. It is said that Daemon leapt from Caraxes to Vhagar, and slew Prince Aemon with Dark Sister, as the dragons fell to the waters below. Vhagar and Caraxes died in turn, as did Daemon Targaryen, though his bones were never recovered. Second Battle of Tumbleton, where the dragons truly danced. This resulted in the mysterious death of Prince Daeron the Daring, the brave death of Sir Adam Velaryon, and the deaths of